बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So we were reading the 17th chapter, text number 9, I think, correct? This we finished. One more, there's one more theme in 9th. Please read the theme.
One should know how to present one's good intent in a palatable way at the appropriate time.
Yeah. So Chitraketu had a good intent. So that those two intentions we said, of course, one was that Shiva's reputation should not be spoiled. By such awkward behavior, which will be misunderstood by the fools and they will criticize Shiva, correct, no, for that. So, one is Shiva's reputation should be preserved. Another thing is, fools should not imitate Shiva, saying that if Shiva can do it, why can't we? Imagine if everybody starts imitating that. The whole world, everywhere, Bhagavatam class husband has to have his wife on his lap. That will become the standard. It'll be included in the resolutions, GB's resolutions. You know? Will it be good all over the world if it happens? So that these were the two concerns for him. Let Shiva's good name be not spoiled, and let Shiva not be imitated. Like in I heard one of the countries abroad, they have something called Rudra magic, they call it. What is Rudra magic? Rudra magic is marijuana and all this LSD shop. They are selling it. But they call it Rudra magic. They just make the name of Rudra so that it looks holy. But the business is a horrible business. Similarly, in many meat shops in India, they put Kali's murti they keep. And they also write the board, Kalika Mandir, they write. So most people coming to buy meat, it is a kind of, some kind of solace for them. We are not sinful because Kali Mata is sitting in front of her only, they are cutting and giving us. So this, for doing nonsense activity, people take help of Shiva or Parvati, I mean Shiva or Durga, for their own wrongdoings, you see. So in this way people are taking undue advantage of Shiva's behavior. So why are they calling Rudra Maji? Because Shiva drinks halahal. Sometimes Shiva can take ganja or marijuana, but he will be least affected by it, correct, no? Because he is drinking halahal. So many people think that, you know, we can keep a Shiva's murti. Even in the pawn shop near Chopati temple in that corner, you'll find Shiva's deity or something. Every pawn shop they have it. They want to make it a holy thing, a religious thing. They know it's wrong. Just put the murti of Shiva and then go on with your business, your money making business. Although you are killing so many people through drugs, through that. So in this way, basically the point of Chitraketu was, let people not imitate you, seeing your bad example. At the same time, let people not lose respect for you because of your, you have already a very good reputation in Bhagavatam called Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Why do you spoil your reputation by such behavior? You know, and I know you very well that you are a great soul, but externally also you should look like a great soul also. And don't behave like a not so great soul. So you'll be misunderstood. These were the two concerns of Chitraketu here. So Chitraketu's intention was good. But he did not present the good intent in a palatable way. Actually, certain things should be spoken privately. Certain things can be spoken publicly. Like glorifying someone, praising someone, that can be done publicly. Some feedback, correction, you want to give, that is private is best. Even when I did last time Sadhu Sambhashan, I asked all the devotees, your feedback you want privately or which can be shown to everybody, and then I will tell you some, you know, improvements and everything, and then not only you can improve, others can also take lesson. So all of them raised hand and said, Prabhu, we have no problem. We can publicly show everybody, and not only we want to know our correction, we want to know others' corrections also. So we can also improve. And I saw it, the first 2-3 fellows were gradually, and as it proceeded, they improved. Next day, my Lord, they had made such improved presentations. I can't believe it appeared that they are trained for 30-40 years. It appeared like that. Very, very high class presentations came out. So I told them, this is like a small family, we are doing it inside our own group only. But of course they were all Yellow Brigade devotees, no problem. Very young devotees, so they were willing to take it. But whenever you are otherwise giving such kinds of inputs, feedbacks, especially in assembly of devotees, if it is a serious feedback, one should be very careful not to present it in the public. Then the people get very hurt by that. So here, what did Chitraketu do? Did he follow the principle, chastise in private, glorify in public? So he slightly glorified in the beginning, and then he gave a big feedback after that. Correct, no? And 2-3 times he was telling about it. He was telling, you know, prakrito prakrito yatha, like that he says. So like a common man, your behavior is like a commoner. It's very improper. What will the world, the people of the world take it? So therefore, one should not only present the truth with a good intent, but it should be presented in a palatable way and at the appropriate time. So Deshkala Patra and all has to be seen. One example I'll tell you. When Vidura returned to meet the Pandavas and deliver his brother Dhritarashtra, he was inquired by Yudhishthira Maharaj many questions about his welfare and where all he travelled and everything. So while talking, he told everything except one news. Anybody knows which news he didn't tell? Krishna returning to his abode and Yadu dynasty destroyed. These two things he didn't tell. He kept it secret. Anybody knows why he kept it? Naan Vishakham, like that he says. Why he didn't tell, I didn't speak it? Misery comes of its own accord. Don't unnecessarily infuse, you know, don't deliver misery to anybody. Which means he knew, now Pandavas are hearing all my stories very beautifully, happily, they are smiling and joyfully. The moment I say Krishna went back to his abode and Yadu dynasty is destroyed in Prabhasa Kshetra, next moment there will be a big hue and cry at home, including Yudhishthira Maharaj, everybody will loudly cry, there will be tragedy scene it will be, and he didn't want to see that. So he just kept mum. I don't know how he controlled himself after that point, it didn't come out of his mouth. So he knew that eventually these fellows will come to know from somebody. So he didn't say that. Which means actually Vaishnava means this is one type of austerity also, to hold confidences. It's one type of austerity. Sometimes we find it difficult to hold confidence. If somebody comes and tells us something, then you may say, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, then it becomes, goes to so many people. So he kept this in confidential information, confidential. He did not reveal it to anybody. Especially he didn't want to put them in tragedy. Similarly, this is a little sensitive issue. Shiva is keeping Parvati on his lap, and many siddhas are sitting, yogis and siddhas sitting and listening. It may not be a good time to give their feedback. You know, imagine somebody is giving a Bhagavatam class, and then you raise your hand and say, Prabhu, why did you sleep in the japa today morning? If you ask like that, you will say, Prabhu, your feedback is good, but this is not the right time. Correct, no? You can ask me after the class is over, you know. This is not a good question. It becomes a personal thing, no? See, if you ask general question, Prabhu, how to avoid sleeping in japa, if you ask, that is all right. But if you ask, Prabhuji, why do you, I found you also sleeping in japa, why do you sleep? It becomes what question? Yeah. Similarly, what Chitraketu said, was it a personal question or is it a general principle? Personal question. It became personal. Because at that time Shiva was sitting with Parvati on his lap and he exactly questioned about it. So he brought a personal matter into a public place. That was the blunder. Actually, as brahmacharis, some of us are very open and straightforward, and we may be very proud of our straightforwardness also. We may say that I don't keep anything inside. I just speak things frankly. Frankly, Prabhu. Whatever is here, it comes out, Prabhu. Don't think I say one thing and keep another thing inside. I am very frank. So in case I speak something strong, don't take it. Like that we may say. But if this is the way we bring personal matter into public place, and that will not be acceptable. It is considered lack of sober behavior. Lack of sobriety, lack of character, lack of good conduct. It's like a lack of austerity of speech. It will be seen like that. So one of the austerities of speech is to control the words and not speak things in a public place. Like today you want to ask, you are very upset with some devotee, you want to ask something, but all day the devotee is giving lecture, he is very busy. So you should be able to hold it till the evening. After lecture is over, you have to catch him. You cannot say, Prabhuji, because you are giving lecture, now only I will ask now. Correct, no? So, that ability to hold the words within the mouth and not release them, that is also one type of austerity. So, from that point of view, Chitraketu might claim that my intent was good. At the same time, was the time appropriate? No. Because it was a public place, class was going on, it was not appropriate time. Was it done in a palatable way? No. Because there was a laughter. The laughter generally indicates ridicule. If one wants to see another person improve, you know, you don't laugh at that person. Rather, you present to that person in a very polite way and private way, probably. Or you can publicly speak about it without talking about the person. For example, say, I am unhappy about certain behaviors of certain devotee in the temple. Yesterday I observed, or 1 week ago I observed, or something like that. I can come and give a whole class on that behavior without quoting their person's name. Then there is no offense. And he may be sitting in the class also. And it may be exactly aimed at that fellow only. Correct, no? It may be quite possible. But who will know it? He will know it, I will know it, but will others know it? No. So then it is no problem. Therefore I said personal feedback given in a public sabha. That was the blunder. So, therefore it is said when we all act in this world, good intentions are not good enough. Repeat it. This we have to say to ourselves. We may, Prabhu, why don't you understand me? My intention was good. You know, don't get me wrong. No, we say like that. He will not understand us. Therefore, when it comes to we dealing with others, we should say this to ourselves. Good intentions are not good enough. Which means, intention should be good, speech and behavior should also be good when we deal with others. And others, in case they spoke or did something to us, we got offended, what should we think? Oh, their intention was good. They didn't have any bad intention. They only spoke with good intention, correct? No? Like sometimes some life members, some people come to temple. At the spur of the moment, they become very wild or angry like that. Prabhuji, you know, what is this? The room was not cleaned properly. And this, you know, prasadam coupon was not given to me. I had to run from pillar to post to get the coupon. You know? Or sometimes, you know, nobody had to attend and everything. So, then some people whom are attending to them may note down. But in case they speak to me like that, one observation I have made. When I mildly smile at them and say, yes, yes, please, I understand. We are very sorry. We are very sorry. Then they also feel bad. They say, Swamiji, please don't get me wrong. I am not here to criticize your temple and everything. But, you know, I am just giving this inputs to you so that next time a guest comes, they will be taken good care. Please understand my intentions. They say like that. Then what should we think about them? Should we appreciate or not? What should we say? Whatever may be your good intentions are not good enough. Will you tell them? For others, we should not tell. For ourselves, we should tell this. For others, what should you say? Oh, sir, I completely understand your intention. Whatever you said, we don't take it as complaint. We take it as valuable feedback with which we can improve our service to you and all the people who will come in future. Then he will be very peaceful. How many of you got the example very clearly? It's very clear, no? Yeah. So, when we do things, actually this was one thing, honestly, I have to say, I have committed a lot of mistakes in this. In this point number, theme number 5. Because many times my assumption was, if God knows my intention and I know my intention, who cares? Just, you know, let people say whatever they want. But it is not good. Because in Vaishnava community or culture, you know, we have to think all the three. Thought and speech and behavior. We have to see all the three. That has to be expressed according to time, place and circumstance. So then only Vaishnava etiquette, proper etiquettes, behavior. Like for example, if there is a brahmachari in the ashram, he may be a brahmachari for some period of time, but if he suddenly at a certain point of time, you know, he goes home, he tells the parents that I am considering to marry, you know, I have spent about 5-6 years in the ashram and I want to marry. Parents say, don't worry, we have one relative girl available, we will get you settled and everything. Then, first he makes plans and everything, correct, no? He has talked to parents, he may talk, and then he may come back, and he may tell the authorities that, Prabhu, now I am considering of, you know, moving to the next ashram or something like that. And he is asking, who is it, and is this a relative girl or something like that. So, imagine if this is presented to the ashram, to the people that, you know, oh, this brahmachari is already in touch with some girl and he wants to marry. Then it will be a blemish. Then later on, nobody will want to go near him at all. They will think that he had a love affair and he wanted to marry or something like that. But it should be presented only in a very simple manner that he wants to marry, that's all. He's going to next ashram, so he should be respected. So now somebody may say, why don't we tell the complete truth to everybody? So tell the complete truth. He went home, he talked to parents, and then he found out a relative girl, he talked to her and the engagement was done. And then he came back and told, why don't we tell this? See, this is Vaishnava culture. Vaishnava culture means you don't have to tell the entire truth to everybody. Basically, he's changing to the next ashram. And he's also settling in a very honorable manner. Correct, no? Because Brahmachari ashram is a good ashram. Grihastha ashram is also a good ashram. He's ready to move from here to here. So, we should give him dignity in such a way that all other Vaishnavas will be able to, you know, be in touch with him and talk to him, and he will continue to be able to tap the mercy from the devotees. But if somebody presents it in a wrong way, then this fellow, he will also lose the mercy of devotees, and devotees also, from a distance only when they see him, they will run away. How many of you understand this? You understand this? So therefore, we don't present the full truth. You may just say that this so-and-so Prabhu. See, his engagement is already over, marriage engagement. But what do you tell in the temple here? So-and-so Prabhu is considering to marry. You know, he is considering to marry. He is going to change his ashram in a week. So all of you bless him. We put up in the notice board or you have a class or whatever. Somebody may say, Prabhuji, why are we telling lies? Last week only his engagement is over. Now we are saying he is going to consider marriage. See, is it a lie or you understand? It may appear like a lie, but it is spoken in such a way so that within the Vaishnava community his reputation will be saved and devotee's attitude towards him will be intact and his access to devotees will be intact. And these things are more important for him to go back to Godhead. Yeah? And for other devotees not to commit offenses to him. Correct, na? Both ways it is good. So in Vaishnava line, actually we always see things from anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya vajana. This is more important. Just being right alone is not enough. So therefore our being right also should be according to deshkal patra. Everything. Very important things. So in this way here the intention is, the good intent is mentioned. But the good intent has to be expressed in a palatable way. Generally what happens in this world, sometimes we have good intention in the heart, but we may not be palatable due to haste or due to some urgency or emergency. Generally people are not palatable in crisis. So all of you ask yourself, how you perform in crisis? In crisis we should click photograph of people, their behavior in crisis. Somebody, as you create a crisis for a devotee and bring a video man also with you from behind. As soon as the crisis is expressed, then immediately take a video and show to the devotee how one behaved in crisis. Generally in crisis people do thunder, you know, they become wild. So actually, you know, this is a very good exercise that in crisis how we present our good intention in a palatable way. This can be one very good test for us. Actually nowadays there is, what do you call this? There is a surveillance camera everywhere now. CCTV, yeah, CCTV everywhere. So if any subordinate says my superior lost his control today, you can see the camera and give it to him, one copy to him. You know? Actually, if you all get a copy of our own behavior, probably we might want to change. Correct, na?
Yeah.
So, Chitraketu, what happened to Chitraketu? Prabhupada is going to very soon explain now. See here. Yeah.
You said that...
Actually, we could also... quickly recapitulate some shastric examples of people who had a bad intent and bad behavior. Like for example, Kaikeyi had a bad intent. She wanted to drive away Ram to forest and make her son the king. And she had a bad behavior. She put her hair disarrayed and going to the sulking chamber. So can you give example of good intent but improper behavior? One is Chitraketu. Any other example? Oh, Sringi's intent is also questionable because Sringi had hatred for the Kshatriya class. Yeah, no, that is emotional. So Prabhupada calls him as inexperienced. He calls him uncultured. He was uncultured and inexperienced. So his good intention to save the reputation of his father is unacceptable because the way he spoke about Kshatriya class and the king of the world is unacceptable. But there are people whose intention was very pure, but their external behavior was a bit inappropriate. See, Pitu Maharaj's intention in chasing after Mother Earth, his intention was good in order to take care of all the praja. And his behavior also is not condemnable because his Supreme Lord's, is a plenary portion of the Supreme Lord. Actually, I am asking questions. Why we have to learn? Sometimes, many times our intention may be good, but our action may be inappropriate. Yes? That is a very good example. See, Mother Sita's intention in pushing Lakshman to go was, she wanted to save Ram. That was her intention. But he was not going. She knew very well, if I use these sharp words, that you have come to forest so that you can take me, you can enjoy me, so that Ram dies and you can enjoy him. See, she knows this is not truth. But she used such a sharp tongue to induce Lakshman to go. So that type of course she didn't intent what she said, but she used it as a tool to make Lakshman go. But that is an example of a very harsh behavior externally while intent being good. Very good, nice example. What is it? Their intent is to not let anyone into Vaikuntha, but then they were showing, you know, manak rabasam. They are breathing very heavily and raktekshanam. They had bloodshot eyes and discontented nostrils and they were stopping. So their behavior was very strong, very good example. But their intention was to not disturb Lord Vishnu. Very good. Romaraj actually wanted to take revenge against his brother's killing. But can we call it good intention? Maybe you can call it duty. He was doing his duty as a king, but he went overboard. But any other good intent example? Yes, Prabhu? Arjuna was using chastising words, but he never intended them externally. So he was very sharp in his speech on the order of Krishna. Yeah, that's correct. Of course, that is a pastime where Arjuna would never behave like that with the elder brother. We are talking about situations where somebody actually goes out of control and externally behaves improperly, but intent has been good, yes? His intent was to protect Ram. So he spoke very rashly, very harshly about Bharat. He spoke. Okay, good. Yes, last. Guha and Lakshman. Yeah. That's a very good pastime. Both had good intention to protect Ram and they were trying to externally. Yeah. So in this way you can think about this intention being good and behavior unpalatable externally. And the inappropriate, not according to appropriate time. And also the time is very important. What you are asking, actually we should not ask the right thing at the wrong time. Anybody has an example? Somebody asked the right question, but at the wrong time. Say for example, Prabhupada was giving a lecture to an atheist. The atheist did not believe in God. So, when Prabhupada was convincing him, you know, with basics, how that God exists. So, that time one girl, Prabhupada's follower, one devotee, Mataji, she went close and then she told Prabhupada, Lord Narasimha killed the atheist, Hiranyakashipu, isn't it? So, she wanted to suggest Prabhupada some clue that Prabhupada could speak that. And then Prabhupada told her, that's all right, keep quiet, sit down, like the Prabhupada said. Because she thought this fellow is atheist, so Prabhupada could quote that example. Was it appropriate example? So she is saying a right thing at a wrong time. Yeah. Say for example, sometimes people come and ask for money, correct? Huh? People ask, please give some money. Like once some group of 3-4 sadhus came. And they are all from Haridwar or somewhere, wearing big turban and everything. They took darshan. We told them, take darshan, take prasad, arrange. But after that, they are coming to meet, asking for some donation. Please give some 2,000 rupees, 4,000 rupees for us. We are traveling sadhus givers. So, we told that in our organization, we don't give any money. We are also sadhus only. We are a charitable organization. We give prasad and we send you off. Take darshan, take prasad and push off. Now, I am telling you like that. Imagine somebody comes and says, but Prabhu, we have some money now recently. Yesterday we got some donation, 20,000 rupees. Can you give them 5,000? If somebody says. Is it appropriate? It's a right thing at the wrong time. Correct, no? So, somebody may foolishly speak like that. Correct, no? Therefore, one should know what not to talk when. So, some people are innocent in this. Like sometimes, certain times you have two people coming to you. When one person comes, you may give. Another person comes, you may not give. But the person with you should know when not to speak what, correct, no? Therefore, the intention alone is not enough. It should be palatably presented and at appropriate time presented. What was your question? Your question answer? What was it?
You said that we have to learn
to stop the words inside.
That's an austerity. So, words actually arise due to passion, and we all have to, therefore that vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam, it says, no? So certain things, although they may come up to the throat, if we don't control, maybe we can drink a cup of water or something. We have to send it inside, keep it for later. Isn't it? Because at that time, if you don't control, then some other problem comes. Correct, no? It leads to other problems. I can honestly tell you, only in the recent few years, probably 4-5 years, I have been learning on holding what I want to say and not say it immediately. Before that, I never even thought, whatever is here, immediately it will come. And like one time, I took Acharan Prabhu to the garden and I was telling what all we can do in IVF. So he went on typing in laptop. Later on, he said, Prabhuji, there are 130 ideas, he was telling. He gave 130 ideas. Thank you, Prabhu. I am so grateful to you. We will do a lot of things, he said. And I did the same thing with another devotee in another voice when I went with one Brahmachari. And that Brahmachari got very offended. He said, Prabhu, you know, you are not appreciating what we have done here. So much has been happening. And you are going on giving new ideas. Okay, we will do new things. But what about what we have done till now? You understand, no? So I said, see, I just honestly spoke up whatever came to my mind, I said. So you may say you are honestly speaking, you are frankly speaking, you are straightforward, and you are like a child, you are innocent. All that is said and done is wonderful. But most people will get you wrong in this world. Therefore, I say my spiritual master doesn't deal with all people the same way. He deals with different people. Some people are emotional people. Some are intellectual people. So he deals differently with different people according to their needs. So he sees their need and then deals accordingly. Some people are like children, some people are like grown-ups. So he deals with grown-ups like grown-ups. He deals with people like children like children. Correct, no? Different people. But it's not a very easy thing.
How to give up this feeling which you are telling that, you know, my intent is right and Krishna knows my intent. Who cares?
Yeah. So if we say like that, we may say, who cares, but we will have a lot of consequences to that. Like for example, you may lose relationship with somebody. Or earlier they were doing good amount of service, after you deal like this, they may reduce their service. There are many consequences. Are you ready to pay the price? We don't want to pay the price also. Actually, there are many people who speak the way whatever comes to their mouth and still they expect to have sweet relationships. And they still expect that the consequences should be good. Therefore, we have to decide. Actually, if you have zero expectation from others, then you can do whatever you want. But we have expectation from others. Correct, no? Because we are living in a community, we have department, we have service. We are all interconnected, interrelated. So therefore, we have to be careful. And also in Vaishnava etiquettes, if this caution is not done, somebody may get offended. So if somebody gets offended, then our chanting gets affected. Correct, no? So we have to worry about, you know, how did that person get me? In case they got you wrong, you have to clarify. So Chitrika is going to clarify now. Very soon. Correct, no? Yeah. So that was 9th verse. Let's go to the 10th one. Yeah. Where is that? Yeah, yeah. Please give the mic to him.
In the case of that example of a brahmachari,
yeah,
like getting engaged and then telling, if the truth is not told, there will be a lot of rumors going on within the like devotee circles that this is happening, that is happening. So if it is openly told this is what happened, then devotees also won't talk about it.
That's what many people think. That's what many people think. But you do it. For example, say you are a leader of your group. You tell the people, last week this fellow went home and he got engaged from the parents and everything. Mujhe kuch news nahi bola mujhe, abhi bhi bola mujhe. Log kuch bhi karte hain. And so I am making announcement like that, you make it. What will happen to the people in the ashram? So they will say, Aishwarya Prabhuji, he just went home and got engaged and his marriage engagement is over and now he is telling you. That means he has not been loyal to his order. He has done whatever he wants. So as soon as he comes to temple with his wife, people will say, hey, everybody see like, everybody will talk like that. They will all, everybody will run in different direction. And that fellow will want to talk to some people. Prabhuji, you are my good friend in ashram. No, Prabhuji, you know, I have to run. Like, is it good? That will happen. That kind of thing happens. It happens with people. Therefore, I told you, it's not enough to be only right. If you are only right, you can be right. But then you see the consequences. Others also commit offenses to him in the mind. And he also doesn't get association of devotees. He understands, he feels that the brahmacharis are all neophytes in this ashram. As soon as he got married, nobody comes near me. And they will think like that. On the contrary, your reader, you heard it, that he went home, he has met his parents and he got a very good engagement and he got settled there. Well, he has come home. Now he is coming back and telling that, Prabhuji, I am going to change from saffron to white, I am going to get married. He says like that. You just call the people and say, Prabhu, so and so has decided to go to the next ashram. Many people will say, why Prabhuji, what happened? Is he not satisfied? Nobody counseled him or what, this, that, so many, everybody will surround him after the class and he will talk to them for some time and everything. And then he may say that I am going home now, I am meeting, I have some family responsibilities or whatever he may say. And then he changes to white, he wears pants or whatever, he gets married, he comes with his wife and all his friends will remain friends. Correct, no? So what is important for you? Our Vaishnava understanding is all friends should remain friends. And nobody should commit mental offenses to him. And also he goes on with his spiritual life peacefully. Correct, no? So you may have a question, is it not cheating? Correct, no? We are not telling the people the whole truth. Therefore I told you in Vaishnava circle, now he has not done any blunder. Is there any blunder in this? See, if you ask him, why when you made the engagement you didn't tell us, somebody may ask, later may ask. He may say that, Prabhuji, everything happened in a, fastly. As soon as I told my parents, parents were very happy that, acha, son has come back quickly. They matched everything. They called the girl's family, boy's family, engagement was over. I am still in saffron, engagement is over already. Like that, somebody may say, correct? Huh? I told parents that I will go to ashram, remove the dress and come, So, everything happened without my control. When things went, like that he may say. So, this is a small detail which you may not tell, but it saves his, saves his spiritual life. How many of you agree? You understand this point? Yeah. But he has not done any blunder. Is there any big blunder you feel in this? I personally don't feel any blunder. Anybody has any problem with that fellow? I don't see any. You seriously see any blunder in this? Basically, he's changing ashram and I don't see any of this thing. Yeah. So, but you understand the Vaishnava way, doing things in a Vaishnava way, you understand, no? Actually, otherwise we may damage a lot of things. Being straightforward, we can damage a lot. Here, Chitraketu was straightforward, big damage is caused to his... Now you will see what is going to come now. You see the 10th one. 10th verse.
Ityata virya vidushi bruvane bhakpashobhanam rushah devi drishthaya nirjitātmābhimānine.
See, very powerful words are used here. Atat virya vidushi means atat virya kovida. The word comes in Bhagavatam. Chitraketu did not know the prowess of Lord Shiva. Atat virya vidushi. And then he is saying, bahu ashobanam, that which is not up to the standard of etiquette, the criticism of the exalted Lord Shiva, which means bahu ashobanam means speaking too many words which are inappropriate. Bahu ashobanam. Shobha means beauty. Actually, we have to learn to speak words which are pleasing to the ears of others, which is also the truth. Like we say, satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat, na bruyat, satyam apriyam. Correct? Try to speak the truth as sweetly, palatably, by all. That kind of things we speak. And also in case we have to criticize or complain about anybody, one should be very careful. Bahu means too many words are not required. One should be very brief and precise in this is it. For example, you should pinpoint the problem and not blaspheme the person. Say you want to complain about one devotee, you go to the manager and say that, Prabhu, we both were sent for book distribution and that devotee never got out of the car, and I had to distribute all the books alone myself, and when I came back, he was still resting in the car. Maybe his health is not good, I am not sure, But he was in the car only. And the manager may ask, really? He never got out of the car. But there was no health issue with him. Is this the first time it's happening? Manager is asking. No, but last four times the same thing he did. You know, he couldn't get out of the car. Probably, I think he's giving us his association for going coming only. He doesn't take part in distribution. But as far as, you know, he's a good devotee, Prabhu, but it will be nice if we can give another devotee. Correct, no? Sometimes you have to tell the truth like this about a devotee. Correct, no? So, when at that time, sometimes we tend to talk a lot about the devotee. Prabhuji, you gave me a lazy devotee. This fellow has always been lazy since the time he joined the ashram. And he did this, he did that. With that devotee, he did this. With this devotee, he did that. I can tell you 24 examples. Huh? That's called Bahu Ashobanam. Correct? Now, what is it? Yeah. Speaking too many bad words. That's not required. You, whatever you know him right now, in your situation, that much only speak. And leave the matter there. You know? Actually, good words you can speak day long. Like Uttama Shlok, you know, like words glorifying Supreme Lord, you can speak all day, all night also you can speak. In night or dream also you can speak. You know? You don't have to worry. But if you have to finger point some faults in others, we have to do it in a very rationed way. We have to ration our words. Bahu Ashobanam. Then he is saying, Rusha Aha Devi. Oh, Durga Devi became angry. Like that, saying, unto Chitraketu, Drishtaya, Nirjita Atma, as one who has, now Parvati is going to become angry now. Read the translation.
Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses.
Purport.
Although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord, even though the Lord was transgressing social customs. It is said, Teji yasam na doshaya. One who is very powerful should be understood to be faultless. For example, one should not find faults with the sun, although it evaporates urine from the street. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man or even by a great personality.
Therefore, even the Prabhupada disciples who took Diksha from Prabhupada and took sannyas from Prabhupada, some of them fell down. So, we cannot talk loosely about their fall down with a loose tongue. As if when Bhaktipada, who is Kirtanand Swami Bhaktipada, in 93, when I used to go to Chapati, we got the news that he is getting down from the position of guru, you know. He had written a letter to his disciples that Kirtanand Swami will not be initiating anymore. Because, that's a very long story, when he was in America, he was preaching very wonderfully and he was planning to make one temple, which is called Temple of Understanding, where there will be octagon, you know octagon? Octagon, and each direction he will keep Jesus, Buddha, you know, he will keep different gods of different religions, like that. Different religions he will keep on 8 places. And in the prominent Sanctum Sanctorum, Radha Krishna will be there. So, his idea was to get people of different religions to come also to the temple. So, he had made one very great plan for that. And also, when Christians saw him preaching very vigorously in America, a lot of Christians were changing to Hare Krishnas in his time. And there is one reason for that. What he did was, in India also, what he did, in the places, like in Tamil Nadu, he would say that the Samsara Dhavanala songs and all should be in Tamil. Similarly, in Maharashtra, it will be sung in Marathi. So, making the song like that and singing so that local people can connect with the language. So, the GBC considered these things deviations because Prabhupada wanted us to sing Samsara Dhavanala in Sanskrit only. So, he was deviating little like this. But sometimes deviations attract newcomers in big numbers. So he was attracting big numbers. So the Christians who saw him in the West, and he wrote some books also, those books became very popular, not only amongst ISKCON devotees, they became popular even in the Christian and outside circles also, on prayer and all that, like Eternal Love and such kinds of books. So when he when some Christians planned to finish him. So they arranged one fellow to go with the iron rod and hit him on the back. Then he would be walking in the garden or somewhere. So when that fellow went to him and hit him like this, it marginally slipped, and of course he got hit and he fainted unconscious, and other devotees came and took him to hospital, and he survived. He didn't die. He survived. But although he survived, some remembrance of his 5-year-old, homo tendencies he had, which came up to surface, which he had before, which were gone, they came back again. Then he wrote a letter to all these devotees that I will not be initiating anymore because I am getting these bad vibrations again. Whoever is my disciple, if you want to be with me, otherwise you can accept anybody else as your for shelter. Like that he wrote. So now, at the time, Parampuja Radhanathaswami Maharaj, he was not a guru. He was only a sannyasi at that time. After that, he told him that you can be initiating guru and then you should initiate. Those who have no faith in him, they can get initiated. So 93 was the first initiation man I took, 1993 May, Radhanath Maharaj. So Radhanath Maharaj told us one very important thing at that time. He told, see, when Kirtanand Swami or Bhaktipadi has suffered that, in case he is going down little bit in spiritual life, it's like he is going from 95 to 90%. And it is only a setback in his spiritual life. But if we criticize him, we are only 5%. We will go from 5% to 0. Like that he said. So it is not a fall down. We should see it as a setback. Like that he told him. So, although it was a very big shock for many people. But one should know that he is not the only one. There are other people who were sannyasis and gurus. Some of them left. So Gauranga Prabhu once, I sat with him in our talk. He told that he heard from one sannyasi. Shared with me. He said, we should see all these gurus, sannyasis to be like Abhimanyu, who entered the Chakravyuha. And in the Chakravyuha, Abhimanyu fought valiantly and fought against the 7 Maharathis simultaneously. And then he died a glorious Kshatriya, victorious death. He died. Similarly, imagine if you were born in 1965 and you met Prabhupada in America. Do you think you would have shaved up? At that time, our movement was not a big success. It was a budding movement. But these people put faith in Prabhupada and dedicated their life when movement was not big. Now, big engineers and doctors from IIT, NITs will come and join now because movement is already very successful. It's called as pride of association. Nowadays, in Bengal, I heard in Mayapur, if a boy joins ashram, the mother will proudly tell in the village, my son is in ISKCON now. ISKCON has become, once the big temple comes in Mayapur, 2022 they open. After that, joining ISKCON will be like joining Microsoft. It will become like that. So, see, when a man is in the desert and is very thirsty, at that time, those who give a glass of water, they are very special people. We should not forget their contribution. Later, afterwards, you come to a city where everywhere you are surrounded by Bisleri bottles. Somebody gives you a glass of water. What is so great? You will say, I have 200 bottles with me. So, these people gave support to Prabhupada when Prabhupada was in need, number one. Number two, they were given very early sannyas. Some people took sannyas at the age of 19 or 21. Can you imagine? You catch a PDC and give him sannyas now. It's like that only. Even most of our BDCs are 25 years. And they took sannyas in 19. So we should be sympathetic to those who had to leave. Actually, not only they left, you will see like Shyam Sundar Prabhu, for example. Or if you see who wrote Transcendental Diary? Harishwar. So Harishwar Prabhu's name was Prabhupada Anugaswami, earlier. So although they got down from sannyas, they got married, but their love for Prabhupada did not diminish. Even today you can say how much they love Prabhupada, Ramanand Swami and our Gargarshi Prabhu. They were all given sannyas, they gave up sannyas, but they married. But they did not leave ISKCON, they did not leave Prabhupada. So the bhakti component remained perfect, only the material component has changed. Because sannyas and brahmacharya and all is material component, correct, no? It is a varnashrama component. It's a varna component. It's not a spiritual component. Actually, you know, they were in sannyasa order, they came to grihastha order, but their affection for Prabhupada, bhakti did not deteriorate. So one should not forget that. So when we are talking about those people, we can draw some lessons from their slip or their setback, but we cannot talk quietly like a fool, ill of them. Like the way Ritviks talk about them. We cannot talk. If we talk about them, then offenses will accrue in our account. Because we should remember the hard work they have done. And Prabhupada said, you see, some people ask Prabhupada, what Swamiji, if they don't maintain their sannyas, if they fall down? Prabhupada said, you see, when the food is fresh, eat it. Don't say that after 3 days it will be stale. Now you eat it. So when they are ready now, they are young and spirited, and I am giving them sannyas. Those who are sincere, they will not give up. They will continue, like the Prabhupada said. And many of them remained also. It's only Jayapataka Maharaj. They all took at 19 or 20 years sannyas. And they remained. Loyally they remained. Therefore, I was telling that while talking about such people who have apparently given up their order or something, we should talk with respect. We should talk with reverence, and we should keep it brief. And we should not delight in talking about the fall downs. We should, just like Maitreya speaking to Vidura, is very cautious while speaking about Brahma's fall down. Then Krishna will know that our intention in talking about that is to learn some lesson, not to make a mockery out of them. Correct, no? So, yeah, you read the purport fully? You complete the purport?
Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting in that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Shankarshan, was somewhat proud at having achieved.
Now slowly Prabhupada, different angles Prabhupada will give. Now he is inserting one new point now. What is that? Somewhat proud. That means not too much proud also. Little proud. Yes?
Having achieved Lord Sankarsana's favor and therefore thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. A Vaishnava should always remain very humble and meek and offer respect to others. Trinadapi shunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniyaha sadaharihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The word Nirjitatma Bhima, Atma Bhimane, indicates that Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of the senses than Lord Shiva. Although he was not. Because of these considerations, Mother Parvati was somewhat angry at Chitraketu.
Yeah, I understand. Very powerful. So, our Shastras say that if somebody want to criticize others, there are many reasons for it, why they do that. The four reasons are given. One reason is, we want to establish our superiority over others. That's one reason. That I am better than him, we want to show that. Another reason that is said is, when one sees someone else doing wonderfully, then one feels insecure, to curb our insecurity, you know. And to consider that I am also not bad. I am also as good as so and so. So therefore we find fault in others. Because I am here, he is here, I have to bring him little down, then I will be little better. So therefore we have to, due to insecurity, also we may criticize others. I will show you just 1 minute. So we want to gain a sense of superiority. These four things. These four. And we want to get back at someone who has hurt us. That is Dhruva. Correct, no? Why do we criticize Dhruva? Get back at someone who has hurt us. For example, somebody proved you wrong. For example, they somehow thoroughly they proved that what you said was wrong. then you are looking for another opportunity to give the punch. For example, you have seen this, what do you call this? Boxing. You know, like they will be taking care of their face and mouth and everything. At the same time, they will also try to punch the other fellow, correct? And while you are doing it, imagine that fellow hit once. Now, what you will be doing now? Waiting for your turn to punch him like that. So, that is second one. Getting back at someone who has hurt us. Hey, you have hit me now. Wait and watch what I do now. I will give you back. That's the second one. Third one, asserting our position or belief as the best or only way. My way or highway, we call it. This is opinion related. So, we criticize other people because we think my opinion is the best opinion. Everybody else's opinion is useless. And sometimes we feel that we don't want to even hear their opinion because we know that nothing else can be better than mine. Like that. Correct? No? That's the third one. And fourth one, avoiding scrutiny of our own shortcomings. We are unaware of our weaknesses. Which means becoming aware of our weaknesses and shortcoming itself is a sign of progress. Scrutiny means we don't analyze only what's my shortcoming. So, one exchange I had with my spiritual master in Calcutta, that discouraged me completely in finding, you know, fault with others and giving them feedback and all those things. After that enlightening exchange, it was like a Eureka experience for me. I have spoken it in some classes, maybe you were there. If you are not there, you can hear now. I will briefly tell you what was it. It was a Bhagavatam class he gave, and after that I asked him a question. So, I very graphically asked the question to him. I told him that, Maharaj, if say we are walking on the street and we find a boy sitting in a branch of a tree, like this is a boy, sitting in a branch of the tree, and he is cutting here, like that he is cutting the branch of the tree. And you know very well what will happen. If he keeps cutting, what will happen? He will fall down and he will break his legs or something. Similarly, I told Maharaj that we find some people, not very newly joined devotees, but over a period of many years they have spent, they might have spent 8 years, 10 years also. If some people have problems, not only I am telling about Pune or Calcutta or Kanpur, in any temple, I said, there are grown up people who don't get any feedback from anyone because of their being grown up. I said that it's like they are cutting the branch and they are about to fall. So, is it not important for some intelligent person to tell that boy, hey, stop it. If you break, you will break your legs. You know, get down and come. Is it not important to give such a input? So, should we give feedback input or should we see him just keep walking in our way, you know, just mind your own business. See, when you ask a question like this, the answer is known. So, all of you, what you would have told? Yeah, we should tell him. If you are really compassionate on others, you should save him. But Maharaj didn't give that answer. See, it's obvious answer, no? See, I asked a question only in such a way that, you know, you will be led to this answer. Correct, no? Well, all of you will say, no, no, Prabhuji, you should not fall and break his leg. He should be saved. Similarly, what is the analogy here? People who are grown up devotees but who don't get any feedback but they are committing certain mistakes which will eventually make them fall down. Like for example, they are not attending morning program. Say they are not attending Bhagavatam class, for example. You know, they are not properly chanting with devotees or whatever. And they are becoming weak. They are observing. So they are like the people who are cutting the branch. Clear, no? You know what answer Maharaj gave? Maharaj said, I'll tell you how he began it, I'll tell you. Correct, now I remember. Maharaj was telling, he asked me a question in return. He said, okay, you are shouting at him, hey, don't break the branch, come down. And after you shout like that, that fellow says, you are scolding me, now I will not come down. Now I will surely hit the branch till it breaks. I am not going to hear you. Then, is your purpose served? He asked. So, he said, The purpose should not be forgotten. The purpose is what? To make sure he comes down and he doesn't hurt himself. So you have to know what is to be said by which he will come down. That you have to think. It is not enough for you to tell him, "Are you fool? You are going to break the branch and fall on the ground and break your leg. Get down." If you say like that, he may become offended and he may not take it. Similarly, he said, if when you give feedback to people, they may get offended and they especially not want to follow the one thing which you told them. You understand the point? On the other hand, you have to devise some means by which, you know, you have to bring him down. Then Maharaj asked, "How will you do that?" Then I thought for a moment and said, "Maybe Maharaj, I'll show some gulab jamun or something. You know, please come down. As soon as he comes down, I will tie him with a rope like the Damodar Leela, you know. Tie him somewhere so that he cannot go back to that tree again. Or call some 4 or 5 devotees and tell them, 'This is a fool, you know, he goes up. You know, catch him, tie him up and don't leave him. And feed him gulab jamun and keep him inside. Or put him inside a room or something, correct now?" Whole idea is, the purpose should be served. And then he said a very interesting point. He said, people in this world think that if the people with whom I am dealing with, if they follow this, then I like them. And I can work with them, I like them and everything. But he told an example of Diti and Kashyapa. Kashyapa saw that Diti first served him very sweetly, very nicely and spoke everything. Suddenly she asked this, she wanted a son to kill Indra. And then immediately Kashyapa understood that Diti has got envy to kill Indra. But Maharaj was telling this point. As soon as he came to know Diti has envy, he could have easily told her, "You envious lady, you want to kill Indra? Go to your parents' home. Don't stay with me anymore. You want to kill that person who is very dear to Lord Vishnu. Get lost from here," he could have told her. Did he do that? He didn't do that. Instead, what he did, he understood she has envy and I have to cure the envy. And he gave her a process of Pumsavana, correct? Devotion service, through which he cleared that envy. And then Maharaj concluded. He said, "The great soul is one who can accept people with deficiencies and make them glorious. That is a glorious leader. Not the leader who says, 'I want ready-made leaders who have no deficiencies.'" Like that he said. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada went to America and he could have seen the hippies. All these nonsense hippies, they are smoking, drinking, drugs, womanizers, good for nothing. He could have given, come back to India. And Prabhupada could have told his God brothers, "I am right, they are wrong." You know, he said, "Because hippies were wrong, I gave them up and I came back to India." So, and then Maharaj asked, "Will ISKCON be there now?" He said, instead of that, he lived with the hippies, which means he accepted defective pieces, even in the early days. And he rectified the defects in them. And he purified them, elevated them. And then he said, to elevate people, you know, you cannot be at the top and tell them, "Hey, come up." You have to go below them and lift them like this. Take them. You know? Then for that you have to become Trinada Vishnu, you have to become humble. Because people, when you become humble, then only people will listen to you. Otherwise, you may have a very good idea to save a person, you know, person, but they will not listen. Your good advice will fall in deaf ears. You understand? No? Like that. So, then I asked one more question after hearing this. I said, "Maharaj, I understood very well." So, Maharaj, you said like Kashyapa did for Diti, envious Diti. So, we also have to plan some way by which we can rectify their faults. And for that we have to have the maturity. I said, "How do we get that maturity?" I asked. And Maharaj said, "We can get that maturity by looking at our own faults." Actually, those who are very sober and very attentive to their own faults and shortcomings, the last one, if you can see our own shortcomings, he said, they will have the gravity and the inner strength to help others. Like that he said. Then I asked one more question after that. Then I asked him, "Okay, Maharaj, so in this way, in case I am already working on cleansing my heart, so side by side I can also help others, correct?" I asked him. He said, "No, he said. He said that one should only worry about cleansing one's own heart. Like that, he said. That's all. That means you don't have to help anyone else, he said. You can help others. You know how? He said. The more you cleanse your heart, your ability to help others increases. He said. So, he said, therefore I am telling you, he said, helping small people is very easy, he said, because they have a great respect for you. Even if you chastise them also, they will hear very easily. Very new people are there. But the more the number of years people have spent, and the more they have grown up, to help them, you have to also go up very high. As they go up, you have to go up also. Then you have to be so exalted that your words will be taken seriously. And for that, those people who are purifying their heart, they only can help others. So he said that, and such people, he concluded, they are not enthusiastic to help others. They are not enthusiastic to find fault in others, he said. They are enthusiastic to find fault in themselves. But in case somebody comes to them with some faults and seeks help, then only they will give help. They will not be enthusiastic to move around telling you have this problem, you have that problem, you have that problem, please rectify. They will not do that. Like that, he said. So that was like a turning point for me, big turning point, very great helper. So therefore, here what has happened with Chitraketu? Chitraketu has become little over enthusiastic after seeing Sankarshan. He got darshan of Sankarshan, he got the mantra, he got Nardamuni as the guru, and he also now was made the head of the Vidyadhara Loka. He was an earthly king, but he was made a heavenly king now. So it's like getting an Indra post or something like that. He got a big post also now. And then he was flying in the plane along with Vidyadhara chanting the holy name. So one problem in this material world is when we become very accomplished, we have a tendency to look down on others, those who are not accomplished. So that's called belittling, we call it. So, right, for example, you can play mridangam very well. Then you look around and ask, "Arey, kis kis ko maalum mridangam bolo?" Or I can sing very well. You ask, your voice is like a donkey, his voice is like a buffalo. We may say like that. Correct, no? We may. So, in whatever field we become good, we may look around to criticize those who lack that. Now, Chitraketu has become accomplished in his spiritual life. He has become renounced, he has developed devotion. He has pleased Lord Sankarshan. Practically, he has accomplished whatever any spiritual aspirant may aspire for. And Sankarshan is actually Balramji. So, Balramji is going to take him back to Godhead. Now, he got practically everything. At this time, he is looking at another spiritualist. Who is it? Shiva. I am a spiritualist. He is a spiritualist. I am very renounced, but he is not. And I need to give him a clue or suggestion. Although he praised Shiva, many people who criticize also sometimes give praises in the beginning in order to balance a little bit. So he criticized Shiva, especially the Bahu Ashobanam. He spoke unnecessarily at length, which instigated Parvati. Probably if he spoke very briefly, you know, if he just asked, he laughed, and then Shiva turned to him and said, you know, "Lord Shiva, you are this, you are that, you are wonderful, wonderful. Oh, last point, you know, you can meet Parvati after the class is over. You know, she can be in the inner quarters. You can," something like that, one short sentence he made, and you should have left it there. But instead of that, he started saying, "Prakrito yatha," like ordinary conditioned soul, your behavior is appearing like that. What will people think about you? Your reputation will be lost and people will imitate you. You are supposed to be Muninam Guru, and can a guru of the Munis behave like that? And Bahu Ashobanam, when too much talk, he became a bit talkative. So a person who is talkative has no gravity, especially when he is talking Prajalpa. So it became like that. And that became the, that's what Prabhupada is saying here, if you see. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Mahamantra. He says, "Nirjitatma vimanine," indicated Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of the senses than Lord Shiva, although actually he was not. So we all have to be careful about one thing. If I am a Bhagavatam speaker, I should take care that I don't criticize those who are other Bhagavatam speakers. And you will find different speakers will attract different amounts of crowds of people and following and all, depending on various factors. One of the factors is your Purva Janma Sukriti also is one of the factors. And another factor, if a devotee, some different preachers have different, some people are charismatic, they attract a lot of crowd. So when we are presenting different speakers, one should not become envious of the other speakers. In the same manner, if you are a singer, you should not become envious of other singers. If you are a book distributor, you should not become envious of other book distributors. So generally people of different fields, rarely they may criticize. Like a Bhagavatam speaker criticizing a book distributor, very rare actually. Because they are like two different lines. But people in the same area, same zone where they work, I mean, zone means in the same service, one should be very careful. Here both were spiritualists, Shiva and Chitraketu. So Prabhupada is saying that, he thought, I am a spiritualist, but I am a sense-controlled spiritualist. And the other fellow, he has no sense control. Like that he thought. So, like Indian Brahmanas became very proud of themselves and they criticized the Western people. But now the Western people, many of them have taken steps to become devotees. So they have surpassed the Brahmanas of India also. They have become Vaishnavas now. Correct, no? Many Brahmanas of India are stuck up in their rituals. Whereas the Western devotees, they may not know Sanskrit, they may not know good pronunciation, but they have surpassed even the Brahmanas of India by developing firm faith in a pure devotee like Prabhupada, and they are on their way back to Godhead, while these Brahmanas are stuck in their own rituals. Correct, no? So therefore, one should not become abhimanine, thinking of oneself to be greater. The Indian Brahmanas have only one credit, that they are born in a Brahmana family and they have 25 paisa sacred thread, that's all. Otherwise, they are very unnecessarily proud. And they think we are born in India, we are Brahmanas, we have our Gotram, and these Western people are Mlechas, Chandalas, Yavanas, they think like that. But you know, you can't label them as Mlechas anymore because they are following four regulative principles. They are chanting 16 rounds. They accepted the shelter of a pure devotee. And their hearts are getting softened by developing affection for the pure devotee as well as, Radha Krishna. Many of them have understood Krishna's tattva very nicely. Many of the, you see, Shivaram Maharaj has written such amazing books. You can see that. And you can see His Holiness, I mean, His Grace, Gopi Pranandana Prabhu, He has made Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, they have utilized their intelligence, their mind, their senses, everything in the order of a pure devotee, Prabhupada. So, Indian Brahmanas have to be told, try to understand their position, understand your position. So, many of them do not even know what is their stature. Correct, no? So, therefore, one should know that simply being a Brahmana doesn't make one great. Correct, no? Because many of the Brahmanas in India, they think ISKCON, they see ISKCON very superficially. They think, hey, what is this? Angrez Mandir, they call like that, no? In Vrindavan. They're thinking it's Angrez Mandir, and they're thinking these Western people, they only chant and dance. They think they don't know how deep are our gurus. One guru, they have lakhs of people, admirers who are following them. Most people in the outside world know very little about our society. You see? So, like our recently, I met one. His name is Bhaktivedyapurna Maharaj. I met him in Mayapur. So, he has a gurukula, he has this kettle from which only uses the water. He uses wooden sandals. He lives a perfect Vedic life he lives. And he also performs a deity installation and all that as he did here. But when I met him, in his talk he was telling, His Holiness Bhanu Maharaj, he was telling, he is a perfect Sanskrit scholar, he said. And then he said, the reason he gave why, he said, Bhanu Maharaj knows the dhatus of every word in the Shastra he has studied. But he said, many of the Sanskrit scholars, maybe if you ask Kanhaiya Krishna Prabhu, he will tell you, many of the Sanskrit scholars can translate, can even frame poems, can write and all, even without knowing the dhatu also. He can know Panini grammar, but he said that Bhanu Swami in ISKCON is the only one person, he said, who is most deeply learned. He knows the dhatu. Therefore, when he is translating Sanskrit into English, He exactly can capture the, you know, right translations and everything. So he was glorifying. So who is glorifying who? Correct, no? Bhaktivedanta Maharaj himself is a great soul and he is glorifying Bhanu Maharaj. So many times people may not know, you know, Bhanu Maharaj, when he is in Chennai, people may be thinking he is some Japanese. I asked Bhanu Maharaj, Maharaj, are you Japanese? But we introduced that you are from America. He said his grandparents were from Japan. He said grandmother, grandfather. Then they migrated to Canada or America? Canada, I think. Yeah. His parents migrated to Canada. So he said, yeah, I asked him, he said, even from my very young age, I had a fascination for Sanskrit. I have been studying and for Indian philosophy. He has been studying many, many books before. And at the right time, Prabhupada came to Prabhupada very nicely. So when I heard that, I felt many times we people have very little knowledge about our own people, our own people within our society. But outside people are thinking, hey, these people are chanting Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. They don't know anything. Because we ourselves don't know, how will they know? Correct, no? Our knowledge only about the greatness of our acharyas is very limited. So outside people, how will they know? Therefore, we should be convinced that, you know, we should not underestimate anyone. That's what he's saying. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It's better to remain humble and meek and chant Hare Krishna. And then previously he said, Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord. Although Lord was transgressing social culture. Morning I gave many examples for this. Yeah. So Prabhupada is the example of sun and urine. It can evaporate the urine. Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, although sitting in that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu Sankarshan, was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Sankarshan's favor. And therefore, so when you receive some favors, we can become proud. So one time my special master was talking in an assembly where even when Prabhupada's disciples were there, he was telling that actually we all met Prabhupada and we took Diksha from Prabhupada, but there are many Prabhupada's grand disciples who are giving their sweat and toil. And if they are working very hard for the movement, you know, even we can take inspiration from them, you are saying, which means grand disciples of Prabhupada, you are saying. And then you are saying, on the other hand, if somebody says, I met Prabhupada, I had a pastime with Prabhupada, and I will reveal to all of you, you guys are fools, you have never met Prabhupada. That is called a self-righteous attitude. He said, if we have that self-righteous attitude, then Krishna will not be pleased. So he was telling. So actually one has to be careful that even if one is a superior, that doesn't give sanction for one to ridicule an inferior. Or ridicule an inferior, or joke about inferior, or criticize inferior unnecessarily. Correct? No? Of course, a superior may sometimes find a fault with the inferior to help them. But at the moment it goes into the offensive zone, it can create problem. So, and then he says the difficulty mainly came because he received a favor. Therefore, thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. Prabhupada ki.